todolisthome.com. Welcome. I'm your humble host, Tony Teolis, and I'm taking care of things around the home for a better life. Today is January 10, 2012. This is episode 29 of the To-Do List Home podcast. Make your home energy efficient and cut costs with insulation. Coming to you from Northern Virginia in the USA. More information on this podcast and others can be found at todolisthome.com. The song of the day is Questions by Buffalo Springfield, recorded on Last Time Around from 2007. Have a listen at amazon.com and the link can be found in the show notes. What drives this? This is my way of paying back years of using the internet for research, learning and improving permaculture techniques to help build community, sufficiency, and reliance. Retiring at age 55 or younger, and thesurvivalpodcast.com. Go to thesurvivalpodcast.com today and learn how to live the good life if times get bad, or even if they don't. You should subscribe to us at todolisthome.com so you can stay aware of the things we're doing on our to-do lists. Connect with us on our website by listening to us on iTunes and podcasts. Watch the To-Do List Home videos on our website or on the YouTube channel, Tokyo73, and be our friend on Facebook, To-Do List Home. Links to all these sites can be found on the todolisthome.com website. We hope you'll share your to-do list ideas with us. You'll also find useful files that you can download on the menu bar of the todolisthome.com website. Feel free to use the files for your to-do lists. On my to-do list today is make your home energy efficient and cut costs with insulation. I had never really thought about insulating this home because I hadn't spent a whole lot of time in the attic other than cursory glances. Our attics in this house are narrow and long and not very high at all, so I had never spent much time exploring around in the attic. And in the fall of 2010, when the idea of checking the insulation in the attic came to mind, I had a limited amount of time and experience seeing what was actually in our attic and checking to see if the insulation that was already there, if it was adequate. I didn't really know much about insulation, although I've put insulation in the home that I grew up in a number of different times or helped whenever we made an addition to the business part of the home when we added insulation there. But I never really had to do any of the thinking or the calculation or the purchasing of the materials to get the job done. I just knew that I didn't like fiberglass insulation. I had also thought that since it was 2010, fiberglass insulation may have moved on to a new space-age technology that isn't itchy anymore. With such pie-in-the-sky thinking, I decided to look into insulating my attic and looking around and seeing if the job was actually going to be something worthwhile. I had a little bit of extra money I wanted to apply to the home and put it to good use. I knew that winter was going to be cold again unless I did something proactive. And so I thought, well, let me climb up and in and around the attics and see what's actually there. And my entrance to the attic is not easy to get to. I have to basically climb up into the ceiling and pull myself up, and this is in the area that covers the garage and the lower living area, the living room and the kitchen. Covers about 800 square feet. But it's only about 4.5 feet high, and it's quite narrow. And it's an intimidating job just by looking down through the rafters. It's almost impossible to imagine how somebody could haul up rolls of insulation if the job was needed, let alone find enough room to spread them out, cut them into place, and make the home a warmer place. So that's probably why I never thought about it. It just seemed like too much work. However, upon the first visit into my attic, I realized that above the garage was just some loose, blown-in pink fiberglass insulation, not much at all, just barely enough covering the floor of the attic. And as I progressed over to the living area, I realized that there was some laid-in rolls of insulation, but they weren't very thick at all. I think in the thickest areas, it was probably 4 inches, if I remember correctly. However, I thought, well, this is insulation. This should be adequate. It was still September and it was quite warm at the time, and I just couldn't imagine having to try to make our home any warmer. But I knew that winter always approaches, so I looked into this a little bit on the web and checked to see how much insulation was actually required for an adequate attic job. And I realized I needed at least 6 inches of insulation throughout that attic in order to keep the place from losing too much heat. In short, that meant I was missing about 14 inches of insulation throughout the attic. This was not very enlightening at the time. I just knew how much was missing. I didn't really know how much to get, what I should get. Although I knew that the insulation in place was inadequate, I wasn't really convinced that I needed to have more insulation put in. I wasn't sure how I'd actually get it to my house, let alone purchase it. So I did a little bit of research on the web, and this is my way of paying back the internet for years of using it as a research tool. I learned a lot of information about insulation in a short amount of time. The best information I found was at energystar.gov. And on that website, it listed how much insulation you should have to adequately insulate your home in the different places, what to consider when taking on the job of insulation, how it should be done, the kind of tools and equipment you should have. With the information I was armed with, I was able to do a lot of measuring in the attic to make sure that I understood the square footage of it, how wide the space between the rafters was. And I looked into different ways of insulating. I looked into blow-in insulation, the traditional rollout of rolls of fiberglass insulation. Once I understood how big of a job this was going to be, I decided to be more serious about the understanding what was necessary to do it. And I made up a list of the items required for the job, and they included rolls of insulation. I had decided on insulation that was going to be unfaced and came in the traditional pink rolls. The reason I wanted to go with the unfaced insulation was because there was already a layer of insulation down, and so I didn't want the insulation with the paper on it to put on top. You're not supposed to do that. So I needed rolls of unfaced insulation. I didn't think much about a mask at the time, so I didn't get a mask, but I knew I needed some better gloves. I thought that since the plywood roof had a lot of the nails coming through from the roofing, that a hard hat, which I always have handy, would be useful. A utility knife, some old clothes. A long pole with a hooked end would be helpful. It was one of the things I learned from some of the video that I watched on the internet about how to spread out the insulation in the hard-to-get places that you can't reach. With the information that I gathered from the internet, I felt confident I could go ahead and take on the job of insulating the attic. I hadn't thought about insulating anywhere else in the house, and this first attic in the lower level was accessible. The attic in the upper level of the home is not accessible at all, the way that the rafters are joined together. There's just no possibility for anybody to move around, and the insulation in that upper attic was adequate enough. There is a good 9 inches of insulation in there, which helps to keep this upper part of the home very warm. As I mentioned, the information that I gathered from the internet and the measurements I did inside the attic, the first thing I needed to do was go to the local home store and purchase some insulation. The measurements that I had taken made me realize that I needed a lot of information. I needed at least 24 rolls. And on this first trip to the home store, I realized my forerunner could only hold 18. Not only was this job going to be big, it was also going to take time. This was not going to be a one weekend job that I was going to be done. With the first 18 rolls of insulation purchased, I hadn't gotten anything else special. As for a mask, I was only going to use a bandana. I had my hard hat handy, a utility knife, and a long pole with a hooked end that would help me push the insulation into the hard-to-reach crevices at the edges of the house. The first time that I was going to do this, it was a Sunday, and my kids were with me, and they both insisted that they join me up in the attic. It was late September. It was quite warm that day. After about 15 minutes of sweating like hell in the attic, we were able to lay down, I think, 3 rolls of insulation in the garage area, so it would have been above the garage and in between the rafters. And what I had done, since the insulation was wider than the space between the rafters, I laid it across the rafters, thinking that that would work and to help keep the heat inside the house. I had laid out, I think, 2 rolls, and I was quite exhausted. I was having trouble breathing, I was sweating very hard, and I itched like hell all over. I was not having a good time, so I told my kids we were done for the day, and we all took a long Gatorade break. When I was getting ready to take my shoes off, my daughter got quite concerned. She said, "We're not done yet. You've got all this insulation. At this rate, winter will be over by the time you get the home insulated. You need to go back up there and lay down a couple more rolls at least." That kind of motivation from a 7-year-old at the time, I decided, okay, I'll climb back up, and I was able to lay down, I think, 1 more roll before I gave up for the day. I thought, there's got to be a better way to do this, but I wasn't going to be able to have a chance to attempt a second try until the next weekend. So a week went by with the insulation about 15 rolls covering the floor of our garage and making it hard to move around. But by that next Saturday, I had gotten a little smarter. The Friday before, in order to prepare for the job on Saturday, I went to the home store again, purchased more rolls of insulation. This time I was able to purchase the extra 7 that I thought I would need to cover the attic. I also decided not to be a cheapskate and buy a good air respirator. I bought a kind, it's featured in the show notes at todolisthome.com, that's got the charcoal filters on the side, and it looks like you're actually going to be working in a asbestos plant or something. But I decided, as much trouble I was having breathing the first try, I needed something better. The next day was a Saturday, and as I was on my own, I decided to go into the attic early, try to get a start on the job before it got too hot in the day. It was still near the end of September or beginning of October. And right away I learned the benefits of having the breathing apparatus with me. This respirator was just beautiful. It helped me breathe without having difficulty, without breathing in any of the gunk from the fiberglass insulation. And I was able to stay in the attic for longer periods of time than I was the first time a week earlier. I had come prepared with a radio and a lot of water. It was a very hard job. I realized early on that my knees were not going to be able to last. I needed to mostly lay down in the attic, or at least squat in a way that my knees were supported by the rafters of the attic, and these were just going to tear my knees apart if I did not do something about that. So I crawled out of the attic and put on my son's skateboard knee pads. That made a world of a difference. I was able to stay in the attic for quite a long time at a stretch, probably 30 minutes at a stretch. And the first thing I did once I got comfortable and was able to view the attic very well, I also used a couple of bright lanterns to do this, battery lanterns, that is. I needed to undo the work from the first time in the attic. They were rolled perpendicular to the rafters, and what was going to be important for a good job was to take my utility knife and make sure that the insulation was cut into place in between the rafters in order to make it a job well done. So I had to undo everything we did on the first day, and I was able to complete about one half of the attic on that first full day that I attempted to do so. It was a hard job. It's not a job for anybody who's claustrophobic in the least, because I'm wearing goggles, I have a breathing apparatus on, I have a hard hat on, and the crevices that I have to reach into become quite small. I had my 10-foot pole with a hook on it to help me spread out the insulation. But it was still a very straining job. There's a lot of sweat involved, a lot of uncomfortability, a lot of patience, and quite a lot of swearing. So I'm glad nobody was around except me. It was not a fun job. But I was on my way to doing a good job. The next day was a Sunday, and so I began that next day and tried to finish up the attic. Wasn't able to. I got about another one-third of the attic done, but at the point where this is a split-level home, the two levels meet, there is a wall, and there are a lot of special cuts with the insulation that were required. And also, there is a sunroof in the kitchen, and the way that that's designed, that requires insulation wrapped around it and trying to get around it and put insulation in front of it. Between that and the edge of the house was also quite time-consuming, and I wanted to make sure it was done right. There's also wires that you have to be careful throughout the house, and there's a number of rules that you not need to follow for how close you place insulation to wires, especially things for recessed lighting. So I'm going to put a warning out there that you really do need to read up and do your research wherever you may find it on the internet. Make sure it's got a government standard for doing the job the safe way so you don't end up causing a fire later on. On the second full Saturday that I had available, I was looking forward to going up and finishing the attic. This time I needed to make sure that what I had done the first day, the first couple of days a week before, was done right. I didn't make any mistakes. And again, getting the insulation into the attic alone was quite of a hard job. So the job begins with a lot of difficulty, and throughout the day it progresses in difficulty. You have to lift up these rolls, squeeze them through the access hole to the attic, do it on a ladder, and then you can only do a couple at a time. You have to crawl into the attic, and then you have to spread out the rolls even further along. And as you can see from the picture in the show notes at todolisthome.com, it's very difficult to move around with a big fat roll of insulation. And you're wearing goggles, and you have a breathing apparatus on, you have a hard hat, boots, and knee pads. My biggest fear was that I would misstep and crash through the ceiling of our home, and that was the last thing that I wanted to do. If my wife would have walked in and found me with both feet hanging through the ceiling calling for help, it certainly wouldn't have made her feel glad that I had taken the job on to do by myself. I knew this was going to be a bad job. I knew it was going to be as hard as I'm describing it. But I wanted to do it myself rather than pay somebody else to do it because, one, it gives me a sense of understanding my attic better. It gives me an understanding for appreciating my real job better. And it was a one-time job because the insulation itself was expensive. I didn't want to deal with the expense of labor if I didn't have to. For the R factor, when it came to putting the insulation in the attic, I wasn't going to fool around, and I went for 30R in the attic, which was about, if I recall, maybe I already had 4 in there, which was like maybe 12R, and I wanted to put in another 18 or so. And so the insulation that I picked up was quite thick, and when I added the 2Rs together, I was able to come up with a figure of, I think, 32 or so. By the third weekend, the attic was complete. I was probably less in weight at that time. I'd sweated quite a bit over those couple of weekends. But it was complete, and it felt good to be done, and I felt like I had done the job that was required. However, like most things that I do around this home, when I was done with the first job of insulating the attic, I thought, well, what else can I do now? It's still just the beginning of October. Am I missing something? And I came across some articles about insulating a crawl space. My crawl space is vented. Came across articles about the pros and cons of ventilating a vented crawl space and whether or not you should do it. My crawl space is about 600 feet. The only thought that kept coming to my mind was how cold my feet were. And I don't walk around bare feet in the winter, but my feet have been cold the last two winters we were here. So the winter of 2009 and then that winter of 2010. I didn't want the winter of 2010-2011 to be another cold feet winter. My wife is Japanese and we practice traditional taking your shoes off when you enter the home. So we're normally in our socks or bare feet when we're walking around, and I really thought I needed to investigate if I insulated the crawl space, would I end up with a more livable living area and kitchen that's not going to let me have cold feet another winter. And fortunately, like I've always said, if there's a question out there, going to Google and researching it pays off dividends sometimes if you do it right and you research enough places to make sure you're getting the right information and safe information. And I learned, especially through the video that I include in today's show notes from How Stuff Works, there's a great video in there about how to insulate a crawl space. I measured a crawl space. It came to 600 square feet. According to EnergyStar.gov, a good R factor for a crawl space is about 19. So there was no insulation to begin with, and so I needed to go to the home store again and spend more money, this time on about 19 rolls of R19 insulation. I also needed to get a staple gun because I thought that holding the insulation in place upside down, some staples would be useful, and a staple gun is one of the tools that I had not yet purchased for this home. And I also needed these thin steel rods that once you pack the insulation into place, the steel rods you just slip up in between the rafters and they hold the insulation in place permanently. Watching the video a couple of times gave me confidence that I could do this job as well. I had thought that I'd done the worst job with the attic, and doing the crawl space won't be as bad. On the fourth weekend of the insulation project, I was able to complete the crawl space. Again, it was about 600 square feet. I had purchased enough insulation to be able to do the job in one day. Although it took quite a bit of time making the right cuts, because there's a lot of wires and pipes and beams and stuff and vents down in the crawl space, as you can imagine. Being able to get in there, put the insulation in, put the wires in was not as difficult as putting the insulation in the attic. It wasn't easy, and there were a number of times where I did bang something on my body that hurt later. I felt very good that I was able to do this in one day. There were a number of things that I learned from this job, and most of them I explained in the show already, and that's basically what an R factor is, how much insulation to buy, how to lay it out properly, and the benefits that you can receive from a properly insulated home. What I liked about the job was that I was able to do it myself and save a lot of money in labor costs. The costs for the project overall was probably $750. It was $680 alone for the insulation, but I'll get to why that wasn't such a hard thing to deal with in a minute. In short, I hated this job. I hate working with insulation. It's a horrible job, but at the end of the day, I was able to cut into my aloe plants and apply fresh aloe directly to all the places, especially around my neck, that had reacted adversely to the fiberglass insulation. I tried to do as good a job as possible wearing the right kind of clothes, but with the sweat and the insulation, it's inevitable that you will end up itchy after a job like this. So I hate this job. But I liked it because I was able to do it on my own, and I was able to save a lot of labor costs. And I learned how to do it. So now I can help somebody else do it, and hopefully you'll be a little inspired to consider doing this job. And with the right attitude, the right equipment, it doesn't have to be as bad as I make it out to be sometimes. And what's really important are the results from this job. We spend most of our time in the winter on the ground level of this split-level home. It is an open area that contains the kitchen, dining area, and living room area. There is a lot of open space, and we have doors and windows that allow for easy access, but also many opportunities to lose heat in the winter. Additionally, without a properly insulated attic and crawl space, heat escapes above and below the living area, not just out the doors and windows. The ground level sits between the lower attic above and the basement crawl space. And the first two winters, as I mentioned, the floor was always cold and it always felt drafty in that area. However, since I completed the insulation job, we have noticed a tremendous difference in our comfort level. The floor ground level of the home is not cold anymore, and we definitely feel a difference in heat retention. There are some other steps that I need to take that are much less grueling than insulation, and I will be discussing those in an upcoming episode. And if we take the same measure of insulating the windows and doors on the ground level of the home, then I believe we will experience even better heat retention and energy savings. Insulating my home involved a rather large one-time cost of, like I said, about $750, but it was one step in trying to cut costs long-term and prepare for a leaner future. Consideration of the cost was offset by the government's energy efficiency tax rebates. Those are never anything to underestimate. They are still available in 2011 tax returns, and I have a link at todolisthome.com to the energystar.gov website that contains all available energy rebate information. I also have a link to a great explanation pages from, as I said, from Energy Star that lists the recommended insulation R values wherever you live in the USA. In episode 8 at todolisthome.com, I discussed the ordeal we went through with the replacement of a whole house HVAC last winter. The benefits so far from that have been enormous, and I plan to provide details on actual cost and natural gas savings, as well as the government rebate we were able to receive. I'll explain the benefits of those in an upcoming episode. This kind of work is for anyone interested in making their home more energy efficient and better prepared for higher energy costs in the future. Home heating and cooling costs will not go down, nor will any of the other regular products and services we depend on for a comfortable existence. Electricity, natural gas, water, oil, and food, just to name a few, will require an increasing amount of energy from ourselves to be expended in order to maintain current living standards if we are lucky. What I mean by that is, in order to continue treading water with our standard of living, I will have to work harder somehow to bring in more money. But I don't want to take that bet. As inflation increases the price of necessities, it is up to us to be more creative in how we choose to deal with price increases, wisely scaling back unnecessary expenditures while introducing self-reliant methods of production is necessary to enjoy greater freedom in your life. With insulation, that's one step in the right direction. That's it for today. Now go and do something useful.